May I speak in the name of our Almighty God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as the church is very busy with the celebration of hope, it is good that we can still continue to worship together as a church. And this morning, I want to share a sermon that I've entitled, A Parable of Life. We are familiar with parables in the Bible. We know Jesus fond of using parables to teach his listeners, and we have benefited and enjoy his parables. One of the questions that I thought about as I prepared this sermon is, how many parables are there in the Bible? I must confess that I've never thought about that. It didn't occur to me to count the number of parables. I think it is not easy, because if we define a parable as a story that imparts spiritual, theological, and moral lessons, then actually there are many parables, not only the parables that Jesus taught us. From what I've gathered from sources in the internet, which I think today is a ready source of information, true as well as fake, some have said that, well, there are about 46 parables. Another source says 50. And yet another one says 55. Well, I'm not going to debate how many there are. I think what is important is what are the parables and what can we learn from the parables. I want to say that much of the biblical narratives provide us with instances or incidents or encounters that could actually become a parable of life for us. So as we read what happens in an incident, in an encounter or conversation, we really can garner some precious lessons, and that will constitute a parable for us. Now, one such parable that I want to share with you this morning is the encounter between the Ethiopian eunuch, who happens to be a state treasurer, a VIP in the court of the Ethiopian queen, Candace. And this was an encounter that he had with Philip, who was recently made a church deacon in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, and who also happens to be an evangelist, because he was going around, as we are told, verse 39 onwards, that, you know, he was going around preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and so on. Now, the Ethiopian treasurer is also someone we would expect to be a financial authority. But here he was mystified by prophecies that he was reading about from the scriptures. He was very interested in what he was reading. He had actually been to Jerusalem prior to this to worship God. He made his way all the way north from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And now he was returning to his country, Ethiopia. And he was passing through the desert. If you have been to Israel, if you have been south of Jerusalem, you realize that a lot of the country there will be desert. And so here he was in his travel from Jerusalem back to his home country, reading from the book of Isaiah. And around this time, Philip was also very busy exercising a ministry of revival somewhere in the north, in Samaria. And he was unexpectedly called by the Lord to go down south to this lonely desert road, in verse 26. And so we can imagine these two men, both actually quite mystified by what's happening to them. The treasurer was mystified by the word of God. He couldn't understand what he was reading. Not so uncommon. Sometimes we read the scriptures and we don't really understand either. And he was reading a passage from Isaiah that we know is taken from Isaiah 53, which is about the suffering servant. For us who know, of course, we recognize the passage he was reading. So he was mystified by the word of God. Philip, on the other hand, was mystified by the call of God to this desert road. whilst he was busy and very effective in ministry. Why, when he's so busy, effective in ministry, suddenly to be called to, of all places, not in another big city or major community where he could do the same ministry or continue the ministry, but to a desert road? So you can imagine how mystified he was to hear the Lord through the angel telling him to go to the desert road. So for the treasurer, God's word defied reason. He just couldn't understand. Trying to use his ability, he still could not understand. And for Philip, whatever was told to him seems to defy logic. It's not logical to have to uproot yourself in an effective and flourishing ministry to go to somewhere in the desert. Now, if we were the treasurer, if we were to put ourselves in the shoes of this treasurer, we might just give up and say, it's useless, I cannot understand what I'm reading. On the other hand, if we were Philip, well, we might do one of three things. We might argue with God, say, God, it doesn't make sense. Why do you want me to go from Samaria to this desert road? Or he could disobey God and says, I refuse. It doesn't make sense. Or he could deny that this message came from God. And he could say, well, that's a figment of my imagination, and dismisses it altogether. But we know that the treasurer was just too deeply interested, as well as spiritually hungry, to want to dismiss what he was reading. He really wanted to know. He didn't want to give up. And Philip obeyed God. He obeyed God out of his trust in God and his submission to God. So he went and allowed the angel of the Lord to transport him to that lonely desert road. Now, we also find ourselves sometimes mystified by God. We cannot understand God. We cannot understand what he's saying to us. And God can challenge our reason and logic. God can also, in his mysterious ways, bother our limited comprehension of things. And we say that, well, you know, it's too mysterious. I cannot fathom what I'm to understand about God. And even God's expectation that we obey him can bother us as well, particularly if we do not understand why God wants us to do certain things. It is hard to say, Lord, I yield, I obey. It is difficult. But we know the line from the hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And it is true. God is mysterious. And for good reasons, because he's God. We cannot fully understand him, so he's mysterious at times. We just have to accept that. But it is not all ignorance, or it is not at all times living without understanding, because revelation will come. Revelation will come, and revelation came when both men did what was planned by God. So both men were able to understand because they went along with what God had planned. Both met. And in this encounter that we have, that they had with each other, should be seen as a strategic encounter. Because something happened in this encounter that they had together. The treasurer understood the word of God. I'm sure he was very excited to read about it and to be able to understand when Philip explained to him. And Philip also understood his sudden calling to this, what we would say, a God-forsaken place. As a result of what he was able to do with the Ethiopian, he understood exactly why he was called out of Samaria to the God-forsaken place. So a meaningful ending resulted for both men, and they parted as quickly as they had met. So it was a lonely desert road, But it was a strategic encounter that they had with each other, an encounter that was significant and a blessing also for both of them. So it was not like it was futile. It was a waste of time. It should never have happened at all. Now, this encounter that we read here in Acts appears to me as a parable of life. And it is an experience that you and I can also identify with in our own life as well. And there are three things I want to mention here about this parable of life that we could apply to ourselves. The first thing is that as a parable, the desert road is our journey as well. We know that the desert can be a very harsh place, very inhospitable, a lonely place, and also can be very insecure. One of the things that I love doing when I travel is to drive in a foreign country, provided, of course, it is a safe place to drive in and I could easily find my way around. But one of the places I would not want to go is the desert. I would not think of driving in the desert because there's so much uncertainty about the desert. No one is there. What if you get into trouble? Who are you going to turn to? Are there strong phone signals? Maybe not, probably not. So we know what the desert is like. And life for us sometimes can be like the desert because we experience hardship. We experience loneliness. We feel insecure sometimes. And there are uncertainties that we have to grapple with, that we have to face in our lives. So these are what I call experiences that we find in the desert. But the question really is the desert experience all that bad? Can we really say that just because it is a desert experience, definitely it must be bad? After the service this morning, someone was telling me, you know, he had a friend in the Middle East, and this friend was telling him, you know, sometimes in the evening he will go into the desert. Why? Because in the desert it's quiet, it's peaceful. And as he watches the sunset, he feels very much at peace. Well, physically, yes, the desert can afford us such an experience, a very calming experience after the hustle and bustle of the day. But there's more than that, spiritually speaking. Good can come out of the desert experience. You think of Moses, who had to spend time in the desert. We are familiar with David running away, spending time in the desert. We think of Jesus spending time in the wilderness. And we think of the Apostle Paul as well. These giants of our faith spent time in the desert. It was not an option for them. They had to spend time in the desert. They didn't complain about it, but much resulted from their experiences in the desert that became not only a blessing to them, but a blessing to us. In the way they minister after they came out of the desert, and the way they taught and shared their experiences. We know that in the history of the church, the monks in the early church withdrew to the desert at a point in time when the church was becoming corrupt and worldly. And these monks of the early church found the desert a spiritually refreshing experience. So they were willing to go into the desert, be away from everyone else, certainly from the world, and become spiritually refreshed and to recover their spiritual passion once again. Is the desert necessarily a bad experience? The desert of life that we go through actually gives us hope. It gives us hope because the desert of life that we go through is actually a training ground for us. It means to train us spiritually. It trains us to trust God. If we are in the desert of life, we have no one to turn to but to God. So that teaches us to trust God. In the desert of life, we've learned spiritual lessons and come to a deeper understanding and experience of humility, of submission, of patience. The desert experience, I believe, certainly deepens our faith and understanding of ourselves, of God and His ways. When the Lord first called me into the ministry many years ago, it was not during a time when I was very happy about my faith. You know, when you are very happy about your faith, when there's no problems to deal with and everything's very well, going very well and everything's fine. If God calls you, the chances of you saying yes is there, because why not? This is a good life I'm living as a Christian. So if God calls me to serve Him, yes. But the Lord called me at a time when I was going through a desert experience in my life. I was facing difficulties. I was facing struggles. And of all times, the Lord called me to serve Him. That would be the hardest time to say yes. Because in your mind, you're thinking, you know, I'm going through this experience, negative experiences. How can I say yes to God when this is how it is going to be like? But the Lord challenged me, and He did not give me any peace until I said yes, even though it was at a time when I was going through my desert experience. It was a struggle, yes. But you know, that was a good experience, because when God called me under those circumstances, I had to be sure that this was God's call. I had to learn to trust God and depend on God. And that stood me in good stead all these years that I have been in ministry. Another experience I had of being in the desert was once I prayed to God as I looked to the future. And I said, God, as I think of the years ahead, please make these years significant for me. Now, I hasten to add that when I pray this prayer of significance, I'm not thinking of saying, Lord, please build this church. Use me to build this church. Use me to increase the number of members. Use me to increase the number of programs or activities or ministries in the church. I wasn't thinking about all that. I was more thinking of how I want to be used by God and to become significant in more ways than one than what I have been in the past. You know, the Lord answered my prayer, but He put me through a desert experience. It was a very difficult time I had. And there were times when I felt like giving up because it was so difficult. My faith was tested. My ability to endure was tested. There were times I was totally disappointed. But after that experience, as I look back, I realized that, yes, if you pray to God for a time of significance in your life, why couldn't He make you go through the desert? Because to Him, that would be years of significance for you. And I think I have to agree. The desert experience can mean one thing to us, but it can mean another thing to God. And we know that God's purpose for us in our desert experience is always the better one. So do not fear the desert experience in your life. It is not the end. It is not helplessness. It is not hopelessness. But it is really seeing hope in the desert because of what God wants to do, what God can do in your life as you go through that desert experience. So if you are going through a desert experience right now, if your heart is heavy, if your faith is weak, if your endurance is limited, just look to God and trust Him and tell Him, Lord, you need His strength. You need His grace. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Secondly, this parable of life reminds us that obedience to God, especially considering His will, obedience to God's will ensures that life will be more meaningful and significant. If we want our lives to be meaningful and significant, then we have to cater to the fact that obedience on our part is required. Philip couldn't see the logic in the Lord's instruction to him. He was, as we know, as I've said, in a spiritual revival. Much needs to be done. He was playing a key role. It was certainly a struggle for him, but he obeyed God, still mystified. It wasn't that the mystery was cleared up then that he went, but he was still mystified. But in spite of that, he went. He obeyed God. He decided to trust God. And we know the result was the blessing of a significant ministry, as well as revelation for the Ethiopian treasurer. I want to encourage you by saying that it is okay if you don't understand God's word or his will. You're not the first one. You will not be the last one if you say that I do not understand God's word or his will sometimes. All that God expects of you to do is to be obedient, to trust him. Be obedient and trusting like Philip. Be humble like the treasurer who didn't give up and continue to focus on the word of God. Because our understanding of what we are going through comes after obedience and trust. Just like I understood the desert experience I went through only after what had happened and what took place. I remember also another occasion when the bishop wanted to place me in a church that I found out that nobody wanted to go to because it was a difficult church. You know, sometimes, I'm not saying this is true of everyone, but some lay leaders can be very difficult. And it was a difficult church. Nobody wanted to go. And bishop say, well, if you don't go, then you cannot be the vicar of any church because there's no other vacancy. And I, in a way, I was rather surprised. I wasn't thinking of going to a church to be a vicar. I mean, you just sent me to a church. Anyway, I went to that church because the bishop says you go, so I went. And you know, I didn't spend very long a period of time there, about 3 years. But it was a time of blessing. The Lord opened doors. Lives were saved. And this was all unexpected. I certainly didn't expect it. But this is what happens when you put your faith, trust, and obedience in God. So is God calling you to something that you could not agree with or understand? Are you questioning God? Are you putting your doubts in God rather than your trust in God? If you are going through the desert experience, it is okay if you don't understand, if you don't agree. But just believe that God has the best in store for you in your life. And you will realize it, you will know it, you experience it after you've said yes and decide to put your faith and trust in God and to go through that desert experience. Thirdly, the parable reminds us that in life we must be open to God because of the strategic encounters that he will bring into our lives. Both Philip and the treasurer met each other in a strategic encounter that was arranged by God through his spirit. It was the spirit that directed Philip when he went to the desert to this Ethiopian treasurer. And this encounter served God's purpose. God ordained it. He brought it about in order to serve his purpose. When I was in church one day, I received a call from someone whom I don't remember, but he told me that, you know, 6 years ago, I went to church. I think it was a weekday. And I met him. So we met. Now, normally when someone comes to the church, especially during the weekday, I don't usually see the person. I usually get my associate or my staff to see what the person needs. But somehow or other, this time we met. And as we talked, again, I can't remember exactly what we talked about. In fact, I had forgotten this encounter. But he reminded me, 6 years ago, this was what happened. And as we talked, you gave me a Bible. And then my memory came back. Yes, I think I remember now. I gave this person a Bible. I don't remember his name. I don't remember much, if anything, about him. But he took the Bible back. He must have read it. He must have heard God speaking to him through the Bible. And he came, or rather, he called me to thank me for that. For that day when he came to the church, I gave him the Bible. That, my friends, is a strategic encounter, ordained by God, planned by God, brought about by God to serve his purpose of bringing this brother into the kingdom of God. That's why strategic encounters by God are important. And there are many strategic encounters that God can place before us as he brings us to the point where we may meet someone or someone meets us and something transpired because it has been ordained by God. I don't know whether any of you went to the Celebration of Hope meeting last Friday. I believe that many were there. Of course, there were some hitches here and there, but that's to be expected. But the important thing is that the Celebration of Hope is meant to be used by God for strategic encounters between himself and those who will be there. The many who went there, who heard the gospel, who were touched by the testimonies that were given, that came as a result of the strategic encounter that God wanted to have with those who were there. And we thank God for those who turned to Christ. We thank God for those who were rededicated in their lives. And many will continue to have this strategic encounter today, this evening. If you can get there, do so, because God may have a purpose for you to be there. I think tickets may still be available, because this is a time that God has planned strategically for many to receive his blessings and to experience the hope of this God who loves abundantly, who loves unreservedly. So pray for those who will be there. Even if you can't be there tonight, pray for those who will be there, who will be strategically meeting, having encounter with God, and that for the first time as they come to know God, they will see God in a new light from what they had known about God, if they knew anything at all. So all of us are living our lives like a parable. And in the parable of life that we go through, as we face the desert road in our lives, may we be able to experience afresh of who our God is. As he arranges strategic encounters with us at various times in our lives, through various circumstances, events, and people that he placed before us. And when that happens, may God's desire and will for us be accomplished as we see ourselves afresh and know ourselves truly for who God is in our lives, in the parable of our lives. Let us pray. Father, our lives matter to you. We know our lives matter to you because your Son came to die for us, to save us. We thank you, Lord, that in the strategic encounters that you desire to have with us, you want to change us, transform us. You want to bless us abundantly. So I pray, Lord, for each one of us, Lord, even as we go through the parable of life, that we live out the parable of life, as we go through the desert experience, may we experience afresh, Lord, of who you are and what you mean in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.